There are about 37 threads from this morning's service already that I want to pull together for us. I want you to remember the prelude. Mama, my intentions were the best. Michael didn't do a country twang, but that's a Randy Travis song, and you gotta love country. And the opening words, if we have any hope of transforming the world and changing ourselves, we must be bold and brave and loving, enough, that is, to forgive ourselves and others. I want to remind you of the invitation to come and go with me to that land from our opening hymn. It's an old African-American spiritual. There'll be freedom in that land where we're bound. I want you to remember the words from our meditation, that as we gain experience, we do not forget our innocence, for they are both part of the whole. And that each of our freedoms, when fully expressed, gives freedoms to others. And then, of course, there's the honey. Remember the honey. There are so many things we aspire to in our lives. We could all just go take a good nap right now and ponder them, because they're all worthy, each and every intention, to be wiser and more loving, to be kind and generous, to be forgiving, to be attentive, to be bold, and not least, to clean up after ourselves whatever the mess we have created. The very list of ideas makes us weary before we even begin. I read an interesting story recently about two young men who had known each other as children. One was routinely a bully, and the other was routinely the victim of his bullying throughout their childhood. And as it turns out, the bully found a new way of responding to the world and a new and more productive way of choosing to be in relationship with others. The one who had been bullied wrote the article, and he asked the other person if he thought he had changed his core self. And the person who had been the bully said, "Likely not," and referred to a statement by Shunryu Suzuki, who is the monk who popularized Zen Buddhism in the United States. The words were, "You're all perfect, exactly how you are, and you all could use a little improvement." Buddhists aren't the only ones who believe this, of course. We humans hold this fundamental tension, being worthy of love just as we are, even in our imperfections. In the Christian tradition, it might be framed in terms of God loving each and every one of us, and yet, our being sinners nonetheless, we make mistakes, we err. Unitarian Universalists claim it in our principles, the inherent worth and dignity of every being, lovable just as you are. Imagine that. Feel that for a moment. And in our tradition, knowing the journey we travel together, that we are likely pretty much always in need of a little improvement. Sometimes I hate both ends, those life tensions that we carry always. I so wish we could just be fabulous and leave it at that. So in a moment of frustration and confusion a month or so back, when I was struggling with some of these things and with the state of our world and how we respond to it and how to make sense of it and why each of us really should even care, or if we do, I called my friend and colleague, Gabrielle. So Gabrielle is a great go-to person, and I wonder if each of you might have a go-to person. Someone you can call when things feel like they're just not quite right. And maybe it's not the person you live with every day, because those are the people you're in the struggle with, but somebody you might count on for some outside-the-box thinking. Gabrielle is a religious educator. She is all about children and youth. So I always imagine that that's why she's so smart, because she's surrounded by these little wise and observant beings, which is what children can be. She's not just smart, she is herself wise and very funny. And she lives in D.C., so she gets all the current craziness a lot. So we were talking about the world and people and ourselves and how tempting it is to want to put one's head in the sand, how hard it is to feel responsible in a way for working to make change or even for being responsible for our own messes. It's not just about changing the world, maybe not even mostly about changing the world, but about transforming ourselves, which of course leads to the world. I'm sure you're all familiar with Lao Tzu's poem that there can be no peace in the world until ultimately there is peace in our hearts. Gabrielle said she thinks people are mostly good. We mostly want to step up, she thinks. We mostly want to do and be the right thing. I guess on that particular day, I wasn't feeling so confident. But Anne, she said, think about it this way. I want to be thin. I really do. I know my knees would be happier and I would be able to run around with my grandchildren if I ever have them. The thing is, she continued, on any given day, I'm still happy to kick back and watch 3 hours of football and eat nachos. And that's not going to make me thin, but, she added, I'm still a good person. Did I tell you about my granddaughter, Maisie? She's 2. She's one of those wise beings. Out of the blue, a couple weeks ago, she said to me, you're a good person, Graham. She must have known I was wondering. You're a good person too, Maisie, I told her. But on any given day, we waver, don't we? On any given day, I'm crabby and short-tempered. I fall so short of all the things I want to be. What is up with that? And at the risk of making unflattering assumptions, I'm imagining one or two of you might feel the same way. What is your challenge? What is your nemesis to a better you on any given day? What causes you to do the things you wish you wouldn't do, or to not do the things you wish you would? When, or is it how often, do we leave the proverbial honey for someone else to manage? This living takes a lot of forgiveness, don't you think? Another one of my go-to people is William Sloan Coffin. He may be familiar to many of you. He was a congregational minister. He taught at the Divinity School at Yale for many years, and he was a longtime peace activist until he died in 2006. We never spoke on the phone, he and I. He's a go-to person in writing for me. He is known for saying wise things like, it's one thing to say with the prophet Amos, let justice roll down like mighty waters, and quite another to work out the irrigation system. Don't you love that? He was all about living into our intentions, actually getting done the work that we aspired to for ourselves or for the world at large. You can't just talk change, you have to do change, and by inference, it probably won't be easy. Otherwise, of course, we would have done it already, right? Gandhi said, be the change as well. He just didn't necessarily infer the hard part as clearly. We want it, but like Gabrielle says, on any given day, there's football and nachos. So here's what I'm thinking the deal is, that changing the world or transforming ourselves in whatever way we feel we need to be changed, to become different or to become more, neither are immediate accomplishments. They take time and they take imagination. They ask us to imagine. Sometimes I think that's what lets us off the hook of the immediacy, putting off to tomorrow, as they say, what we could do today. Transformation takes creative energy, and to be honest, I think it also takes some faith that what we want to make happen can actually happen. The person we want to be, we can be. It takes faith to believe in the possibility. Which brings us back to a William Sloan Coffin. It is terribly important to realize, he said, that the leap of faith is not so much a leap of thought as of action. For while in many matters it is first we must see and then we will act, in matters of faith it is first we must do and then we will know. First we will be and then we will see. One must, in short, dare to act wholeheartedly without absolute certainty. Dare to act wholeheartedly without absolute certainty. Piece of cake. So I resonated quite strongly with our reading today by musician Duro Farrar. I found it just a little ironic that his comment about the older black folks warning them as children not to show our color felt so familiar to me as a white child. I wonder if it did to any of you. We were encouraged in my childhood to be seen but not heard so much. My childhood, and maybe yours, was full of a kind of constraint, of being instructed about the right way to be. My mother's favorite phrase, if it's nice, it's right, Anne. So I do this really well. But I don't do this almost ever. I am grounded, and I was always told that was a good thing. And then we hear the band leader saying, remember to get carried away, to be grounded is for plants. And I wonder, am I a fruit tree or an oak? And the truth is, I don't always want to be either. I want to be free of some of these constraining roots, and I so easily forget that my freedom, fully expressed, gives freedom to others. If I needed motivation, that could be a good one. I want to do this more often. I don't know, it could be risky. But I wonder, what is your constraint? What is it you long to be on any given day that you are not already? I watched a YouTube video recently by an artist named Kenna. I don't think he's brand new, but he wasn't familiar to me. He offered a song called Sleep When We Die. Get it? Don't rest. Dream bigger, he says. Entertain your crazy. I love that. Entertain your crazy. Put aside your constraint and be what you imagine, and it can be so. There's a theory that I think rings true for many of us that when you start paying attention to something, it shows up all over the place, even or often where you least expect it. So I was reading a book recently called A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. It is a paced novel, meaning it doesn't move quickly. But it's an interesting story about a roughly 40 years of Russian history observed by a man who has been condemned to reside for the rest of his life in a hotel in Moscow. It was a slow read, but I stuck it out night after night waiting for something to happen. And one night I read, "What is an intention when compared to a plan?" he said, catching Ossip by the sleeve. "If the sooner the better, then why not next week?" So in this really slow novel, in the midst of our intention month, I find this little piece of wisdom. What is an intention when compared to a plan? Amor Towles is solving our existential dilemma. Let's not just intend to be more loving or more kind or more engaged or more thoughtful or more whatever. Let's make a plan and make sure it happens. Maybe it's the plan that turns our intentions into reality. and maybe the plan requires the wholehearted jump, that leap of faith. And maybe it's not just about trying to clean up your honey mess, but actually doing it on any given day. I was thinking that when Jesus, for example, said things like, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds," he wasn't saying, "When you get around to it." So we can let it shine now. I don't think I've ever met someone entirely at peace with themselves or their life, though, to be sure, there are degrees of contentment. But it's likely there's something that each of us is yearning for. In those quiet places in our hearts, even those of us who trust in our inherent worth and dignity, our lovability just as we are, and many of us are still working on that, we likely recognize the room for a little improvement on just about any day. I wonder if you might choose the wholehearted leap to a new way of being. Even if you don't know how it will turn out, could you do it? And if you do, I hope you will share it with us. Share it so that we will all be inspired by your courage. We are all shining brighter for your light. We will all be made a little freer of constraint, whatever our own is. This life is too precious and short to wait. Let's stop thinking and make a plan and get on with it and imagine how great it will be. I have such faith.